It's time for Senior Talk with Carol Higgins Taylor, a show designed with seniors in mind. Carol discusses everything from Social Security to senior housing, medications to Medicare, and so much more. And now, your award-winning host, Carol Higgins Taylor.
Hi, and thank you for joining me today for this edition of Senior Talk. We're going to spend half an hour together discussing anemia, something you may not have thought of, but as I did a pre-interview with my guests, there's a lot of information that you should have on this condition. My guests are Dr. Kale Mikesell, who is the medical director at EMMC Patient Blood Management, and Leon Bennett. He's an RN and nurse coordinator for EMMC Patient Blood Management. Thank you both so much for being here.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Carol.
The pre-interview was fascinating. I learned so much, so my listeners, I'm sure, will be very interested in everything that you have to say. First off, tell me a little bit about the patient blood management. I didn't realize this even existed.
Yes, and Carol, we're very fortunate at East Remain Medical Center. The leadership has grasped onto this concept, and our program has been active since 2006. Originally, our program started with the preoperative evaluation of elective surgery of orthopedic patients and has since expanded to about 9 different surgical lines. And the whole premise of patient blood management is to optimize the patient's hemoglobin, their blood count, their iron stores before an elective surgery to decrease the risk of their transfusion postoperatively. And the medical literature is quite astounding as far as the benefits of this. And we're very fortunate to be able to bring this to our patient medical community here in the greater Bangor area. The medical literature actually shows that patients that receive a blood transfusion have a longer stay in the hospital, have an increased rate of hospital-acquired infection, and they also have an increased mortality or morbidity rates. So certainly all things that we certainly want to avoid in our patients, and we always want to have the best patient outcome. So what we've done with the program, we actually have 2 full-time nurses that review patients coming in for elective surgery to identify those patients that are at risk. And once we identify those patients, we work with our medical director or nurse practitioner to form a customized treatment plan to treat those deficiencies in their blood count and iron status. And those treatments may involve anywhere from 1 to 3 weeks of treatments with intravenous iron, oral medication, or other type of medication to stimulate your own body's native red blood cell production.
Excellent. Dr. Mikesell, what is anemia exactly?
So, great question. So anemia is when you have too low of red blood cells in your body. So what that means is if you cut yourself and you see that you have that red-looking blood, the red part is made up by red blood cells. Your blood has more different type of cells in it than just the red blood cells. But what the red blood cells do that's really important is they take oxygen and they take it from your lungs and they take it to your organs and all throughout your body so that your body is able to continue to function properly. If you don't have enough oxygen in your body and the oxygen is not getting distributed enough, your organs start to become damaged as a result of that, and you can end up having big issues potentially heart attacks can be caused by it. You can get short of breath easily. There's any number of symptoms which we can discuss more later, but when you have anemia, it is because you have too little of that red blood in your body. It's very prevalent too.
So that can be a domino effect of your health.
Right. Absolutely. There's any number of reasons that we can have anemia, but anemia can make you feel awful, right? So if you're feeling awful, then other parts of your health can suffer. I often have patients who come in and see me and say, you know, I just haven't been able to exercise for 6 months because of my anemia. And they may not have a severe anemia, it may be mild, but they just don't have any energy to get up and do the things they want to. So if you're not feeling good there, it's going to lead to issues in other areas.
How prevalent is this among seniors?
Yeah, so the WHO, which does data on this, tells us that it's about worldwide, it's about 24% of all elderly patients. And typically in medicine, we consider elderly 55 and above.
Oh, swell.
Yeah, right? I mean, it's a tough number, right? But that's typically the number that we're looking at. In the United States, we know that those values or those the number is a little bit lower because we're talking about developing countries where their nutrition isn't as good. The United States is usually a little bit better. But what we find, and Liam can attest to this also since he sees this every day, is that in our preoperative patients, it's just about that number who we do something for to help treat their anemia.
Right. Yeah, so that's right, Dr. Mike Sell. Characteristically, when we identify a patient at risk and talk to them over the phone, the patient's very surprised to hear that they have anemia and or iron deficiency. And once we start talking with the patient to gain some insight into their lifestyle and their workability and their activities of daily living, now this has been a process that has not occurred overnight. This has been going on for probably decades. And anemia, we certainly think of that with patients that may have lost a great amount of blood in a short period of time. That's a medical emergency. Those patients end up in the emergency room. We do use blood products every day at Eastern Maine Medical Center for those type of emergencies. But the patients we deal with, they may have one or more chronic diseases of like chronic kidney failure, or diabetes, or hypothyroidism, or had gastric surgery in the past that predisposes them to develop anemia over a great number of years. And the human body is so remarkable. It can adapt when you have a low blood count or low iron deficiency. And by human nature, patients will adapt as well. You know, they may not go out as walk as far or go out to social events as they used to, or they may do less and less in their yard work, for example, to accommodate for this anemia. And so once we talk with a patient, they say, you know, wow, is that why I'm sometimes fatigued or I'm sleeping more or I just don't seem to have the energy to visit with my grandchildren? And it's very gratifying when you set these patients up for treatment, not only to get them through a very stressful time of having their surgery and have an uneventful recovery, but to have them call you sometimes 1 or 2 months later after their surgery and said, it's amazing how much I feel. Not only recover from the surgery, but I never knew I could have this amount of energy again. And these are the patients that get treated at our anemia clinic in Brewer and do quite well afterwards.
So this is a very slow process of becoming anemic to that degree. And if it's happening in seniors, how does a senior know when it's normal aging or when they're anemic?
Now, first off, I want to just say that it can be a slow process, but it's not always a slow process. So we often have patients who come in who are anemic very quickly because of one reason or another, typically related to bleeding issues is usually the reason that is. Maybe they have a bleed from their gastrointestinal tract or something like that. And if they have a large bleed, they can become anemic very quickly because their body just can't compensate for what they've lost. One of the things that we find is that patients, as they're going to their physicians, the physicians have so many other things that they're worried about, the primary care providers, the nurse practitioners, PAs who are seeing them, that oftentimes when a patient comes in and says, you know, boy, I'm not feeling right, they're looking in other areas because they've got all these different things that are common and big issues like diabetes, high blood pressure, things like that that they've got to be worried about. But typically, if you're starting to feel really tired, if you're starting to get lightheaded, maybe have headaches, short of breath, if you're walking upstairs, like 3 weeks ago you could walk upstairs fine and now you're getting short of breath when you're going upstairs, those are signs that this could be anemia. That doesn't mean it is anemia, but it could be.
So those are things to look for if you're if this has been happening more suddenly.
Right.
Not just a sign of aging.
Right, exactly. And we often have patients who we treat and then they can tell right when they're starting to have problems again because they now know the signs and symptoms. So they'll say, yeah, 3 weeks ago I started to get short of breath again and I know it's time for me to get treated for my anemia once again.
So again, it's really exercise intolerance, pale skin, weakness, lack of energy, shortness of breath, cold.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's hard to tell in Maine sometimes, right? Yes, but cold, if you're more cold than usual, that's something we always tell patients. Usually when you're getting a fast heartbeat, that can be a sign of more severe anemia, along with people passing out can be a sign of more severe anemia. So those are things that we worry about. Typically, a lot of our patients just have this fatigue, lack of energy, shortness of breath, things like that.
How about restless leg syndrome?
Yeah, great question. So restless leg syndrome, one of the issues is it can be caused by iron deficiency. And so anytime anyone's diagnosed with restless leg, they should check for iron deficiency first.
And we have one more thing that we're going to talk about on what the symptoms are, so stay with us and find out what that is. If you want more information, log on to anemia.emmc.org, and you'll find out lots of stuff there. Stay with us. More to come. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk. Again, if you're interested in anemia, want to know more, anemia.emmc.org, or you can call 973-9887, 973-9887, and that will get you to the EMMC patient blood management. So when we, before the break, we talked about restless leg syndrome, and really a short answer because of the break,
right.
But that is so prevalent, and I had no idea that actually could be caused, and I'm sure other people don't, by anemia.
Absolutely. Absolutely, it can.
So if you're having that, check with your doctor about a blood test. But the other one that I found fascinating is pica for ice.
Right.
So explain to me what that is.
Yeah, so pica, when we think of pica, typically people think of weird cravings that pregnant women have, right? They're craving pickles or they're craving ice cream. Well, the same thing happens when people have anemia, particularly iron deficiency anemia. And just quickly, why iron is so important is when your body is making new blood, when it's making new red blood cells, it has to have iron to put into those red blood cells. If it doesn't, it's like trying to make a car without an engine, and it just won't run properly or at all. And so when you're iron deficient, your body's production of red blood cells starts to slow down or even just stop completely. And so you're not getting that increase of blood being made, and people start to have their blood levels start to drop and drop and drop, and they start to get these symptoms. Well, one of the things that happens when you are iron deficient is your body starts craving iron. So you start doing things like particularly chewing ice, because when the ice freezes, there starts to be a little more iron in it, or they start craving red meat. I've had some patients who've come in and said when the wind blows in their face, they love that because the sand hits their lips and they can lick the iron off out of the sand. You know, just they just get these weird cravings. And so that can be a sign of iron deficiency.
When someone, if they start bleeding and their blood is really rich and dark, or it's, you know, more light colored, is that a sign of, an older woman said, oh my, I've got a lot of iron in my blood because if I cut myself, it bleeds very dark maroon.
Typically your blood, I have not heard that. Your color change occurs from oxygenation of the blood. Right. So when your blood is oxygenated, carrying oxygen, it's more red.
Which is a good thing.
Well, it usually you don't want to see that because that means you've cut an artery and you don't want to see bright red blood. It's usually splurting also. You don't want that.
Okay.
But the darker blood, if it's darker, that means that it's not carrying oxygen. And if it's even darker, that may mean that it's old blood. Yeah. So potentially, like when you've had blood that's sitting around for a while, it starts to darken up as it's breaking down.
Okay, that gives me more questions than an answer.
Yeah.
So the blood?
Well, you know, like if you have a bruise, right? The blood is pulling in that area, and that's the reason your bruise starts to get dark, because the blood is breaking down.
Okay.
Yeah. So I wouldn't, I haven't heard that or read that in the literature.
Old wives' tale, right?
Yeah.
However, if this woman were to cut her finger and the blood is extremely dark, should she see her doctor, and as opposed to being a lighter?
I don't have a good answer for that.
Well, it never hurts to have a blood test. So.
Right. So. You ever heard anything on that, Leanne?
No, I think there certainly is any uncontrolled bleeding that needs to be addressed right away, whether it's arterial or venous there.
Right.
So that's
a severe cut or nicking an artery or something, but it's like even just a small thing, and then you see the.
Yeah.
I don't know where I'm going with this, but she's convinced. She's convinced. So I thought I would just check it out with the experts. So how can someone, if they are, they're feeling this way, and what are the treatments? And can someone just kind of do it on their own if they're starting to feel it and with food or whatever?
Right. So, yes. And between the anemia clinic and patient blood management, we use similar treatments for these patients. And there again, it's always best if the patient has these type of symptoms that we've talked about. Now, to get the appropriate blood tests through their primary care provider, or certainly if they're signing up for elective surgery at Eastern Maine Medical Center, that's part of our preoperative testing and evaluation. So certainly identifying patients with these low blood counts and low iron levels, some patients may just respond to oral anemia therapy with over-the-counter iron supplements with vitamin C and folic acid. The vitamin C helps to acidify the stomach to absorb more iron, not only in the supplements but also in the food. And we coach patients that are on oral therapy, know the proper foods to take. For example, the red meats or the green leafy vegetables, the type of legumes in the bean class, for example. And there's a lot of iron fortification in cereals and a lot of other foods as well. And the patients that have extremely low iron levels and are having surgeries where they know they're going to have expected blood loss, those are the patients that we evaluate and we actually treat with intravenous iron at our anemia clinic. And the intravenous iron treatments may consist of one or two treatments before surgery to build up the patient's iron reserves. And like Dr. Mikesell alluded to earlier, once those iron stores are back to normal, then the patient's own native production of red blood cells can take place. If there's any type of chronic diseases may hold back their native red blood cell production, then we go to another line of medicine to help supplement that as well.
And when we come back, we will talk about if you're having surgery, should you store your blood? Stay with us. We'll be right back. Lots more to come. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk. So if you are having a surgery and there is a possibility of a transfusion. I know back in the day, people used to say they would have blood drawn and they would store it up and give it back. So, do you ever boost someone's iron levels and then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. So historically, that's correct, particularly for surgeries that were high blood loss surgeries, like joint surgeries, total knee replacements, total hip replacements. They did used to store the patient's own blood and maybe would give them iron to try to reboost them before. What the literature shows with that, though, is a couple of things. Number one, all we were doing was causing people to go into surgery anemic because we were taking their blood off, right? And because it was just a mild anemia we were causing, their body wasn't rebounding. It wasn't understanding that it needed to start making more red blood cells to replace that. Number two, so it actually found that people were getting transfused donor blood from the donor population anyway, because now they gave back the patient's own blood and then had to get more blood on top of it. Number two, the other thing that we found is it's a safety concern, not for the patient, but imagine you're in a blood bank with blood everywhere, right? And you take this patient's blood that's only for the patient and you put it on the shelf. And if it's sitting there close to the donor blood, it could be picked up accidentally and given to a patient on the floor. Well, the patient who's donating for themselves, that blood isn't tested for any of the pathogens that could be in the blood system. So there are still hospitals that do it, but the recommendations from the blood bank associations is that it's not worth it.
And you work very hard to avoid having transfusions anyway. It's
right.
Not something that is expected, but it can happen.
That's right, Carol. And historically, transfusions are one of the most frequent patient procedures performed in hospitals across the United States. And there's many other societies, medical societies working hand-in-hand with patient blood management programs to decrease the risk of transfusion for the patient. You know, and certainly the patient blood management programs throughout the United States have a big role in that. But we also work with other team members in the medical field, you know, with the anesthesia department, nursing, pharmacy, the surgical services, you know, to bring the full continuum of care to the patient, not only before surgery, but during surgery, in the operating room, to use certain type of medicines to limit the loss of blood, different surgical techniques, and after surgery as well to make sure the patient is well cared for and leaves the hospital not anemic. And certainly if the patient does have a chance of being anemic and requires more time to recover, those are the patients we refer back to the anemia clinic and do extensive communication with a primary care provider and the surgeon to make sure the patient gets the treatments they need to fully recover.
What do you say to patients who may be concerned about getting a transfusion?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. And I'll sit down and I'll talk to them. And usually their concern stems from the idea of getting a disease like HIV, AIDS, or hepatitis, something like that. And what I'll typically tell them is in the United States, blood transfusion causing AIDS or hepatitis has not occurred in over a decade. And while it is still a risk that we have to make sure these patients know about, most of the calculations that are made, or the most of the percentages that show us how frequent it is based on theory, not on actual practice. The blood is very, very safe as far as infection is concerned. Where we get our concern is more on the opposite side, where we know that giving a patient blood can cause problems with their immune system. It can actually make their immune system work a little bit worse, which makes them more susceptible if they're going in for surgery to have an infection because of that surgery. It makes it so that their wound won't heal quite as quickly. It can have downstream problems that aren't related to infectious disease like they have been historically.
Is that because the body perceives this new blood as a foreign agent?
There's lots of reasons. There's a very difficult question that we don't understand 100% in the medical field. But what we do know is that there is what we call a downregulation of their immune system where it just stops working as well. And it may be for any number of reasons. There's a few theories, but we don't know exactly why.
If someone is feeling having surgery, talk to their doctor. If they're feeling any of this dizziness, lightheadedness, tiredness, talk to their doctor. Get an anemia test. Thank you both so much for being here. The number to call again is 973-9887, 973-9887, anemia.emmc.org. Thank you both very much.
Thank you, Carol.
This has been Senior Talk with Carol Higgins-Taylor. To listen to this show again, log on to our podcast page at wvomfm.com. That's wvomfm.com.